Monsieur le Président.
President. Mr. President. Colleagues. Let me begin by thanking, in my turn, Mrs. Morgantini for her initiative in organising today's debate. This debate showed, first of all, that there is a very broad consensus and very determined support to the choice of Africa as the focal point of development policy in the European Union. This support is quite manifest, and it's quite clear today that Parliament, Commission and Council have all made this choice. That doesn't mean that other poor people in the world are of no interest to us, far from it. All it means is that more than half of the increase in development aid will be devoted to Africa to allow that continent to catch up. The second point that I've gleaned from today's debate is that any assistance that we develop, set up, should involve a genuine European development strategy for the world in general and for Africa in particular, linked to the key questions: governance, infrastructures, debt. Someone said that sorting out the debt wouldn't solve all the problems. Well, we know that, but it is a crucial element. But it's not an end in itself. It's merely a development tool. It will allow us to make sure that future development will work effectively. It's simply a key precondition. The setting of a social policy as civil society emerges in Africa, the setting up of access to justice, to teaching, to health, to culture, as I said before, all of these are important points, and all of these should feed in to the overall strategy, the overall plan, the program that we have to implement that we were talking about earlier. Let me say that I'm fully aware of how difficult this is going to be. Once we've got this program, we are going to have to show leadership and try to win out over the bureaucracies whose job it will be to implement this plan. And I count on the assistance of honourable members, the Council, and I can promise that the European Commission will leave no stone unturned to move this policy forward. It's crucial that we make real progress after so many promises that have been made. All of the prospects that have been opened up before us in this discussion today, all this climate of hope which is now appearing, we now have to deliver on these policies and show that things can change and will change quickly. Another point for Africa is the role of equal opportunities for the two sexes. That's something which we don't stress frequently enough or strongly into all our policies, because that will allow us to make real progress. And as far concerned, preventing trade from going too far, providing micro loans to allow women to express themselves in cultural terms as well, that's basically it, Mr. President. As Hilary Benn and Jack Straw have told us, if not now, when? If not us, who? We have no more excuses. It's been said and said again in the past. We can't delay any longer. We have to rise to this challenge, and we have to move from ideas to action and hope that lives in the hearts of so many Africans, and make this new policy with life breathed into it again. European leadership can really show what it can do. We can make a specific expression of European values. That's why I'm very optimistic right now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Signora Mussolini.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Mrs. Mussolini, if it's a point of order, you can have the floor, but please cite the rule that you're raising to speak under. There's no microphone. yesterday something very serious happened. Italy was offended. There's no microphone. There's no microphone. Is this a point of order? If it's a point of order, you have to start by telling us which rule you are rising to speak on. There's no microphone for the speaker. Rule 90. Okay, we'll check and see what Rule 90 says.
El artículo 90.
Rule 90 doesn't give you a reason to take the floor to speak.
Señora Mussolini.
Mrs. Mussolini, you are raising a point of order. You have to tell me what rule you are citing. If you don't tell me which rule you are rising to speak under, then you cannot speak. So now, to wind up the debate, we received six motions resolution, one from the EPP ED group, another one from the Union of the Europe of Nations, another one from the Green Group, European Free Alliance, and another one from the Liberals.
Otra por el grupo con
another motion from the European United Left and another motion from the Socialist Group. These motions have been tabled to wind up the debate, so that concludes that particular debate. The debate is now closed, and the vote on these motions will take place later on.
Je l'ai déjà dans l'enveloppe là, mais je la déchirerai qu'au moment venu.
Now, I've got the envelope in front of me. I'll open it and have the results in about an hour. Anyway, we've got one of the longest votes in our history, about 900 amendments. Now, first of all, we have a vote using the simplified procedure on the Baron-Cresp report on the approval of vehicles with regard to the protection of their passengers. Those in favour? Those against? Abstentions? That's carried. I'd like to congratulate Mr. Baron Crespo. And now, in accordance with the agenda, we now have a vote on the motion for resolution on hazardous substances in electrical and electronic. There are no amendments to it. Those in favour? Those against? Abstentions? Carried. Now, in accordance with the agenda, we now have a second reading vote. Colleagues? Sorry, a point of order. Under Rule 152, yesterday during the debate in plenary in the afternoon, we dwelt on the entire package of structural policy reports, and now the vote is organised in a different way. But I propose that after the Hatzidakis report and the Fava report, we then take my report on the Cohesion Fund and then the CASA report, so that the entire package of regional reports is taken in the right order, the same order for the debate. They should be voted on together as a package. I think that will be more appropriate. So I'd ask you to give consideration to this proposal. Well, if the hemicycle's agreeable, we'll change the order of the votes accordingly. but colleagues, please let the sessional services know a little earlier in the list. Now, next we have a second reading vote on a common position of council on the patentability, I can't even say it, the patentability of computer-implemented inventions. This is the Rockard report. I think that our rapporteur would like the floor.
Merci, Monsieur.
Thank you very much, President. With all likelihood, this plenary in a couple of minutes or in 3 minutes' time will reject the draft proposal for directive on the patentability of computer-implemented inventions. All the big groups and even the small groups, I'm sorry, have taken this decision, but for different reasons. So I don't have a mandate or even the ability to comment on all the different motives behind this, but I do think there's a single meaning behind this decision. When it comes to the substance of the issue, we are split almost half and half, and so we don't really know what the result will be when it comes to getting a relative majority, and it would be difficult and almost impossible to get a qualified majority. The different schools of thought here prefer the rejection of the text rather than accepting the opinion of the other side, of the other school of thought. But there is a collective anger, unanimous anger here throughout the panel way in which this was dealt with, handled by Commission and Council. Total contempt, sarcasm and scorn about the opinions adopted by Parliament during the first reading. A total lack of any consultation by Commission when it came to the draft text for the second reading, and repeated attempts to prevent a debate between the governments in the Council itself. And the principle of that is already unacceptable. Europe is going through a crisis, and this is partly because of the democratic deficit in the institutions. The Council has overwhelming responsibility for this. The Council has shown with this issue that it isn't acting democratically, and this rejection of this position should serve as a lesson. So serve as a lesson at public opinion, which we represent here. The general thrust is that this issue is not ready for adoption. This legislation is not mature, and so we need to have a more detailed debate, an in-depth debate that would be capable of fostering consensus. This is a crucial issue, several billion of dollars a year at stake here. What we need is a raising of awareness. That has started, and the rejection of this common position is a message to the Patent Office. The European Parliament has refused to do anything about the fact that we're drifting when it comes to the law on software. If this drift continues, then there'll be a majority in this House to stop this drift, this dangerous drift. Thank you very much, colleagues. Now move on to look at the common position. First of all, I have three identical amendments, 62, 65 and 71, and there's a roll call on those. The vote is open, 62, 65 and 71. The vote's open. Has everyone cast their vote? The vote is closed. 680 votes cast, 648 in favour, 14 against, 18 abstentions.
Mr. Banks.
Oh, you're here.
Thanks. Channel 2 should be English. You should be.
Bien, mesdames et messieurs, merci de.
Thank you very much for turning up to this press conference. You've all heard the debate. The ministers and the commissioners have already put their views across. I'll give the floor very quickly. The press conference is going to be a very short one, though. President, first of all. Thank you. I don't have very much to add to what you have heard in the debate already. But I would just point out the great commitment that has been expressed here, and I'd like to congratulate the British presidency for having put this on the table and very much at the top of the agenda for the British presidency. This initiative, coinciding with the G8 meeting, I think is going to mean that Prime Minister's commitment is going to turn into action, as is shown by the organisation of this meeting. The fight against poverty and underdevelopment has been full of promises which have never been met. It's been full of symbolic acts, of all kinds of instruments, but they have not actually awakened world conscience enough. And let's hope this time things are actually going to be taken seriously. The Council has entered into important commitments. The European Parliament will ensure that those commitments are met. This position is so important because Europe is based on developing a global conscience, a global awareness, a global consciousness about what is the cornerstone of represents. So I'd like to congratulate the British presidency again.
I hope that this time it's seriously. Thank you.
Mr. President, thank you very much for your remarks. Prime Minister Tony Blair decided to make our G8 presidency focus on the twin issues of climate change and of Africa because of their obvious and profound importance. I don't think any of us, when he decided upon this, fully appreciated the degree to which, just by putting him on the agenda and by arguing the issues through, we'd be able to increase world focus on these issues. But this debate in the European Parliament, I think, is one illustration of that. And I'm very grateful indeed to you, Mr. President, and to your colleagues from all the political groups and for all the member states for the seriousness with which they have dealt with the issue of Africa today. I think it's a really important day for Africa. I'm sure my colleague Hilary Bent will want to say more on that. But it's also an important day for the European Union and the European Parliament. A lot of the stories in recent weeks have been about divisions on internal issues, and they are there, and we as the UK presidency have our responsibilities in respect of those and our responsibilities to try to resolve them. But as I said in my speech to the Parliament, children should remember about today and this period is not the divisions over the budget, but the fact that we have this great debate in the European Parliament and that the European Union has decided to double its aid to record levels to Africa. And as Hilary Benn said in his speech, aid works, provided it is properly directed. This aid should make a huge difference to people in Africa. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Mr. Benn.
First of all, can I say, I think we all owe a great debt of gratitude to Luisa Morgantini. Today's debate. I mean, Jackie's right. At a time when there is quite a discussion taking place about Europe and its future, here really is an illustration of the case for you. Lead from the front. And the decision on aid, the doubling of aid to Africa and to developing countries by 2010, the historic agreement that was reached just over a month ago, demonstrates Europe's capacity to come together to address the really big questions of our age. And as I said in my remarks to the Parliament a moment ago, I can never remember a time when the world was focusing so much attention, and today's debate has been part of that and has been a very clear illustration of that growing attention and concern, because people increasingly recognise, in addition to those who have always felt morally outraged by poverty, there is a growing number something about this, both for moral reasons and because it is in our self-interest as a world, because we cannot grow further apart. And living in Europe in an era of unprecedented wealth and plenty, when we have the means to do something about it ourselves, but crucially when Africa and other developing countries are now demonstrating their willingness to play their part, to fulfil their responsibilities. And I was on Monday in Sirte attending the African Union Summit and was given the honour to address the assembled heads of government and heads of state. There's never been a better time to do it. And if we use our endeavour to support the efforts that Africa is now making, then I believe we can make progress. Thank you very much indeed.
Monsieur Michel, je vous rappelle que la
Mr. Michel, could I just remind you that this has to finish in 5 minutes, the press conference, 5 minutes. Minister Michel.
Bien. Je vais donc...
Thank you very much. Yes, I'll try to be as brief as I can. Could I begin by thanking Mrs. Morgantini and President Borrell for having organised it? This represents a very broad consensus on how necessary it is to have development as one of the fundamental pillars of European policy. I think that development has to be seen as the projection, in the most perfect sense, of European values. Solid and the rule of law and democracy, of course. I'm also very pleased because having during my hearing I said that I was going to make Africa very much a priority.